Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right, bucko minute here. Get back to some calls. We got Kabali in studio. It's a kind of a different feel to a football Friday because Steelers don't play till Monday, and also people are reacting to me authoring up probably the worst prediction in the history of sports analysts giving predictions on things. Mark Kabali, yes, he's going to be here. But Mackie, on this idea of the Pirates being sold. And so it's don't get excited. It's not reporting on him saying that the owner is exploring this. He more or less wrote an article about how there among people who study the economics of baseball believe this, that this could be the best time to sell because the valuations of teams have never been higher. And there are some things going on in baseball that lead experts to believe that franchise values might actually start to go down.
That this is a bubble.
Yes.
That it's going to eventually burst to some extent.
And the key thing in it is what's gone on with the television rights, the regional rights to games. So not the Fox deal to broadcast the World Series or ESPN doing
Sportsnet,
something like baseball.
Pittsburgh type deals.
Exactly. And so the money there is not as robust as it was a few years ago because the way people consume television now has changed so much. They've gone direct to consumer with all the streaming stuff. Cable obviously is nowhere near as popular as it used to be. So that's creating a little bit of panic among all the sports leagues, but probably more so than any others because of just the sheer quantity of games that they sell is baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jason writes this with the idea that, like, hey, we know that these are all businessmen. Is it possible that our owner here or owners of other team are going to have this light bulb moment, this epiphany?
I think White Sox are looking
Jerry
to sell.
Reinsdorf is one. Exactly. That's exactly who just popped into my head.
We know that they're, like, interested in selling. They're mentioned in this story. The Twins are up for sale. The Pollard family who own them, right? They're up for sale. Nationals and Angels, Jason writes, both were at least like exploring this.
Yeah.
And then decided not to. But yeah, if you look at it from a strictly bloodless, hey, business-wise, is this the right time to do it?
It might be.
And then I think if you're Bob Nutting, he has publicly, I think, said he wants it to stay in his family. But if you can cash out at a point in time where you're reading the business headwinds or you're kind of trying to take lay of that landscape and you think it's never going to be better than it is right now and eventually the roller coaster is going to start going down the hill, the prudent business move is to do that right then and there.
I don't think he looks at things this way, but if I were a small market owner who did not want to extend himself financially to win, this World Series would only fuel my fire to want to get out of it because it's the Yankees and Dodgers. And it's not only that part where it's like, oh, the teams that spend the most are getting to play for the ultimate prize. It's the fact that the sport and the people like Rob Manfred, for example, are drooling on themselves in glee.
They're very happy about this.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, wait a minute. You're now telling me like this was, I always felt like this was the case, but now I know that it's the case. You don't want me to win.
Mm-hmm.
You privately root against my team, and then when we get this matchup, it becomes clear that you are biased in this. This is not the NFL where it's like, Yeah, we love when the franchise in Green Bay plays in the Super Bowl. Or
that parity is a virtue to us. The small markets being engaged, the fact that we can sell out Brazil with Green Bay and Philadelphia is wonderful. Like this,
so that would factor into the thinking for me. Like, it would make me feel like we're not close at all to winning a World Series. So if I had the business part of it, but also the competitive sport part of it, and I was weighing both, I think there's clear signs that it's a good time to get out on both accords. I do think it's funny, by the way. Do you do this at all, where you look at the rosters of both teams and you see, how many ex-Pirates are on both teams?
I try not to do that to myself.
Do you think it's like a kind of a masochistic behavior?
A little bit. Well, like it underscores for me is these other two teams in this particular situation have such a financial advantage, and then the fact that they are still though getting guys who are previously on the Pirates and putting them to better use than maybe the player ever was for the Pirates feels like an extra little like stabbing pain.
So the Dodgers bullpen is an example of that. They have Anthony Banda. And they have Brent Honeywell, who have pitched in not just mop-up duty, but have logged serious innings for both teams in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And Banda, 2 years ago here, 2022, had a 6.41 ERA as a Pirate.
Wonderful.
And Honeywell pitched in two games before the Pirates put him on waivers, and then he went to or designated him for assignment. Then he went to L.A. and he pitched to a 2.62 ERA during the regular season.
It underscores like the failings of their player development. I mean, Clay Holmes is not this year the player that he was after the Pirates traded him.
No, Yankees fans hate him, but he was an all-star.
His numbers are still good.
And what did we get back for him? Park?
Hoy Park. I was very excited about that.
Yeah, because we watched Clay Holmes suck here. That's why you were excited, but I was right there with you.
Holmes, right after he was traded, was nails for them, and he's been worse this year, but it's not like he's been a complete catastrophe.
He's still
like
30 saves. I'll take – he was better
The guy's ERA is 3 still.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not horrible.
He was Mariano Rivera compared to David Bednar this year. Sorry,
and also,
Dave.
Honestly, also when I look at Cole, who's not like a spring chicken anymore, which kind of makes me feel old, but Gerrit Cole with the Yankees, by and large, a better version of him than we ever got here.
Big wine aficionado.
I thought you meant Cole. Wine, like W-H-I-N-E.
He's done some of that, too. But yeah, he's big into the wine culture.
Does he have his own, like, his own
I think
vintage,
he actually... I don't,
or his own wine company?
He's making almost $40 million a year. He probably could do that if he wanted.
Oh, that's where you got to be rich to get into the big-time wine business.
So you think even more than that?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly.
Did you know Jim Palmer was an art collector?
I actually did know that. I actually knew that. Like I
you got to have some big bucks to get into that whole deal.
That's how, what's his name?
Jeffrey Loria.
Loria. I always get him confused with Jeff Lurie, who owns the Eagles. But yeah, that's how Jeffrey Loria made all of his money as an art dealer. What a weird, like, come on. Just be a tech giant like everybody else, an art dealer. And you got all this money.
I actually respect the art dealing more.
Than the tech, bro?
Yeah.
Because it's like an old money way to go about
trading
things.
Monets and
What's another very antiquated way to be rich? You know, like I'm not saying like Rockefeller Oil or anything like, you know, Standard Oil, but I'm saying like an old kind of goofy, outmoded way to get super rich.
Blacksmithing?
I don't think the blacksmiths were making a ton of money here. That's the problem. Yes, I was a cobbler. I was the world's greatest cobbler.
Bert Blyleven's dad was a molasses dealer.
Get the hell out of here.
Look it up, man.
Molasses?
Yeah. Molasses transporter, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why was that such like a big profession?
I don't know. I guess in the 50s
specialized
and 60s
transport?
And 70s, molasses had to go from point A to point B somehow.
And if you weren't driving it, it was going to go there very slowly.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. We'll let Channel 2 take care of that. We're hanging out until 6. Mark Cabali going to join us in studio next. Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. It's the PM team on the Fan.
First, it's...
Oops. Oh, O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.